Hey, Shalom. Okay, a couple of things. Bez Hashem, by the end of the week, we should try to finalize the list of who's going to be coming, Bez Hashem, to Shabbos Lech Lecha. So this way, we'll be able to tell the caterer how many meals to prepare. We'd like to encourage everyone to come. We're going to have hopefully a very nice time. We ordered a Kalbach Kabbalah Shabbos. It's already ordered, and food and packets, hopefully, and all types of good things. So we encourage everyone who can to attend. Okay, so please let me know. We are on question 8. Packet number 6. Okay. The halacha is, as quoted in the Rambam, Parak Yud and Hilchos Eidus, that there are certain averus that a person does that deems him a rasha. A rasha is pasul eidus, and if you do certain averus, you're deemed a rasha and therefore pasul eidus. So there are two categories. There's the two tracks, two ways to be posel eidus. One is the non-monetary track, and one is the monetary track. That's called Rasha de lav de chamas and Rasha de chamas. Chamas is that you corrupt in the monetary sense, and lav de chamas is some problem in the non-monetary sense. So, Russia, the lav de chamas. So, we'll see. Bez Hashem, if we learn the Gemara later in the third parak, we'll see these two categories: Russia, the lav de chamas, and Russia, the chamas. So, Russia, the lav de chamas means that he violated something in the Torah that is not a monetary issue, but the violation is an iser lav or an iser misa. For example, iser lav means he eats in McDonald's. If you eat a McDonald's Frank, then you get malchus. We don't give malchus today because we don't have smicha, right? So we don't have the real bezin. But if you eat a McDonald's Frank, then you can't be an aide. One or the other. You either want to be an aide or don't eat McDonald's Franks. Not that you have a choice. You're not supposed to eat McDonald's Franks. And this way, you won't eat McDonald's Franks, and you'll be okay. You can eat McDonald's. Right? For years, they had a store here in the neighborhood called McDonald's, a Fleischik store. So, you know, lasted many years. Then, I don't know, they went out of business. I don't know exactly what happened. A lot of grease there, I think. But they did okay in those years, you know? McDonald's. But McDonald's, no. You get malchus if you eat McDonald's. And then you puzzle eidus. Or if you do something worse, you mechal Shabbos. If you mechal Shabbos, you turn on the light on Shabbos. That's called chil Shabbos. Then you chayev skila for that. So what's the story there? You also puzzle eidus. So... But that's nothing to do with chamas. It's lav de chamas. It's not in the chamas category, right?
It's not like he's stealing. It's an honest guy. It's an honest thing. He's violating a iser lav or an iser misa. So an example of iser lav would be eating shaved meat, shaving with a razor, or have the shear of the razor, or in Chal Yontif, those are all the Sevadim. That's Russia, the Lavin Hunts. Not Russia, not Russia, the Lavin Hunts. That's one type of Russia. Then, oh, and then the second type. The second type is Rasha Dechamas. Rasha Dechamas means a person who steals, who violates monetary things. So you don't get Malchus for that. You don't get Misa for that. But that's a separate category of Rasha.
Rasha Dechamas.
And either of these categories, if you violate either of these categories, you will not. The
yep. For the non-monetary ones, because there have to be Eden and Shoah and all that stuff, but that's not at the time.
Even if there are no Eden and Hasra.
Right? It's part of the Eden.
How do you know this guy's part of the Eden?
He'll admit it. He knows. He's not a frum Jew. He's not Shomer Torah Mitzvah, so he knows that. Everyone knows it. He knows. He's not denying it. It's not a question of denial. He admits it. So he's a Rasha the Lav the Chamas, Apostle Eidus. There's a question whether if it's a Tinoch Shanishba, he never knew any better. So then it could be a svar to say that maybe he's not possible Avis even if he violates things. That's not simple. Not simple. So that's the answer to the first part of the question. But Eiza Suge Bale Aver Psula Avis. So the two Sugim are Rasha de Lav de Chamas and Rasha de Chamas. Then we continue. Aim Kofa Pikodim Possula Avis. So what if a person is asked to wash something, and then he is asked to wash, and then he's asked for the object back? The guy's going on vacation, so he gives you his computer, and then he asks for it back, and he says, "I don't have it," and we know he has it. So he's a kofer pikadon. So kofer pikadon is a gazlan, and a gazlan is pasul eidos. But then we have another din about kofar b'milva. What's the din of kofar b'milva? Im kofar b'milva posel eidus. What if a person is kofar b'milva? So what does that mean? He's kofar b'milva. Means he was lent money, and then when he's asked for the money back, he denies that he ever. He denies that he ever borrowed the money. So the question, so the halacha is kofar b'milva is kosher leidus. I would have said for sure what? What would you have said? For sure that why? Because he's a Rasha. The chomas, right? This is mamish a monetary thing. He borrowed money. And he doesn't want to give it back. So why is Russia a kofar b'milva kosher le'edus? So this is discussed in the Gemara in Bava Metzia, the Dafei Amud Beis. And the Gemara says, because we assume that the person who's kofar b'milva really doesn't want to steal. And the only reason why he's kofar is because he spent the money, so he doesn't have it now. And he's stalling. So instead of admitting that he owes the money and be under pressure to get the money back, he'd rather deny it. And this way, he'll deny it, they'll get off his back, and then when he's able to get the money, he'll give it back. But he's not really looking to steal. The kofar b'milva, we assume that, is not necessarily looking to steal. Whereas the kofar b'pikadon, you don't spend the pikadon. A pikadon is supposed to stay in your house. And there are witnesses that when he was denying it, it was right there. So there was no stalling tactic. So why is he denying it? It must be that he wants to steal it and keep it. But the milva you spend. Milva lotzah mitna. So since the milva you spend, so the whole reason that he must be what? Denying it is not because he wants to steal it, but he's just stalling. That's called ishtamutei ha mishtame. Ishtamutei ha mishtame. He's just stalling. So even though he's lying, but we're assuming that he's not lying to really steal. He's just lying to stall. And lying to stall does not make you a fool. Rabbi is asking an interesting question. In other words, how long can you, like for 10 years, you can still say he's stolen? I guess once we see he has money and he's still not paying back, then we see he's not stolen. But as long as we see he doesn't have money, then we could still assume that he's stolen. Okay, that is number 8. Good. Number 9. Number 9 is packet 7. This is the discussion of Chakiros, Drishos, and Vedikos. What's the story with that? So we know that there are three types of questions that Edim are interrogated with. Three types of questions. There are the Chakiros questions, there are the Drishos questions, and the Bedikos questions. A three-part Bechina. That's what I'm going to be giving this time. A three-part Bechina. Every aid gets a three-part bechina. Part A is Chakiros, Part B is Drishos, Part C is Bedikos. And the Gemara says, the Mishnah says that there are seven Chakiros. And that's learned down from the Psukim, right? It says, Darashta, V'chakarta, V'sha'alta, then it says in one place, and then it says, Heitev, and all these different words here and there, and it ends up to seven. And you look in Rashi and Chumash, and in the packet, and seven Chakiros. So what are the Chakiros? Chakiros are in terms of time. What time was it? What date was it? What, right? Those are the Zion Chakiros that the Mishnah in the first beginning of the fifth parak. Be'ez HaShavua, what year of the Shemitah cycle, Be'ez HaShana, which Shemitah cycle was it, and then which year in the Shemitah cycle, which month, which day of the month, right? So these are called Chakiros. Okay? That's one type of questioning that you have. Then, another type of questioning is called what? Drishos. What are Drishos? What are Drishos? So Drishos are something that is related to the actual action. Like if it's a murder case, did he kill him with a sword or did he kill him with a with a stone. So these are not about the time and place, but this is about the actual Maisa. This is fundamental questions about the actual Maisa. For example, he was Mechal Shabbos. So what did he do? Which Malacha did he do? So these are part of the actual Maisa. And that's what the Rambam and the Meiri say are called drishos, because they're part, very fundamental questions, not tangential questions, fundamental questions. Like if he killed him, was it with a knife, with a stone, with a gun? If it was Michal Shabbos, so what did he do? Did he write? Did he put on the light? Did he write? What exactly did he do? Those are drishos. Then the third category is what? Bedikos. Bedikos are all the tangential details, like what color was his shirt, right? What type of tree was he standing next to? In other words, these are details, but they're tangential details. The tangential details. Those are called bedikos. So what's the halacha with these three categories? Again, chakiros is the time of the day, the time of the year, the time, the place. Drishos are the essential details of the story. Like if it's a murder case, what was the weapon? If it was Chil Shabbos, what was the malacha? And bedikos are the tangential details, like was it a blue shirt, was it a green shirt, was it an orange tree he was standing next to, was it a fig tree, was right? Okay, so the Mishnah tells us in the beginning of the fifth parak of Sanhedrin that there are differences in halacha between chakiros and bedikos. Chakiros, if you say eini yodea, if you say Eini Yodea, then what? Then the Eidus is possible. Because if you don't know the date, you don't know the place, in Eini Yodea, then the halacha is that it is, the Eidus is thrown out. But by Bedikos, if you don't know what color the shirt was, you know you're witnessing a murder case. And they ask you, so what color was the shirt of the murderer? And you say, I don't know. So that's okay. The Eidus is still good. The Eidus is not good only if the two Eidim contradict themselves. If one Eid, if they both say they don't know what color shirt is, that's fine. But one says a blue shirt and one says a green shirt, then they contradict themselves, then it's no good even by Bedikos. By Chakiros, Eini Yodea is what? Is already no good. Even if there's no contradiction, they both say, or one of them says, Eini Yodea, you throw it out. But by Bedikos, Eini Yodea is Pashut. The only thing that's possible is what? Stira Bedikos. Now the Gemara, wants to know what's the difference. How come Eini Yodea by Chakiris is no good? And by, this is the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Mem Aleph. The Gemara wants to know what's the difference. Lachorot, If any of there is no good, it should be no good in all cases. Why is there a distinction in the Eini Yodea category? So the Gemara tells us the following. We know there is a halacha of Eidim Zomim. Eidim Zomim says when the first pair say we witnessed a loan or a murder in a certain place and on a certain day at a certain time, the Reuven lent Shimon money in New York City, 9 p.m. on Tuesday evening. And then other Eidim came and say, how could you say that? You were with us Tuesday evening in Queens at the same time. Right? So that's the din of Hazam. We believe the second pair over the first pair. Right? That's the din of Eidim Zomim. So the halacha is that an Eidus has to be an Eidus Sha'ata Yachol Hazima. In order for an Eidus to be good, it has to be an Eidus which there's a possibility of doing Hazama to the Eidim. To the Eidus. But if there's no possibility of doing Hazama to the Eidus, so then what? Then the Eidus is not a good Eidus. So therefore, if you're saying Ein Yodea in the Zman, so how are we going to be possibly mazim you? How could we be mazim you and say you're with us in, but when? You didn't say when, so we can't catch you. Because you didn't tell us the information of when. If you tell us when, then we could say maybe it's not, maybe you're lying because you're with us at the same time in a different location. So therefore, in order for Eidus to be good, it has to be an Eidus that could be Huzam. So if you're going to be an Eini Yodea, then it's an Eidus what? She'i ata yachol azima. It's an Eidus that we are not able to be mazim. And since it's an Eidus, we're not able to be mazim. So therefore, that Eidus is not a good Eidus. Masha ain came by Bedikus. There's no Hazama by Bedikus. Hazama is only about the Zman and the Mokum. So therefore, Eini Yodea by Bedikus is not a problem. It's only if there's a contradiction, then there's a problem. If there's a contradiction, then there's a problem. If there's no contradiction, it's not a problem. So that's why Eini Yodea, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin and Memalef, that Hakiris is no good, but Bedikus is good. Yeah.
Yeah, but how do we know that Bedikus isn't, saying Eini Yodea for Bedikus isn't Ma'ateh for Hazama? Meaning.
But what is Hazama? Hazama is Imanu Hayisim and Makom Ploni. That is what Hazama is.
But how can we derive it that it's not made possible from that? Because maybe. Maybe it's made possible, and maybe the Eidus is possible, and therefore, as they say, Eini Yodea, then the Eidus is possible anyway. Then it doesn't go, you don't go right on the case, and therefore, there's no Hazama that needs to be done. If you don't know, let's say, if you don't know Bedikus, maybe it would be possible, and therefore, there's no Hazama is going to factor that anyway. Because once the Eidus is possible. If it's possible by some Eini Yodea and Bedikus, there's no Hazama that can be done. So maybe.
If there's no Hazama that can be done, which you say Eini Yodea, that's not a good Eidus. For an Eidus to be a good Eidus, it has to have a potential that there should be Hazama. Now, the only thing that's left to discuss is what about Eini Yodea by Drishos? What about Eini Yodea by Drishos? So, the halacha is that Eini Yodea by Drishos is also possible. In other words, if you don't know whether it was a knife or a gun, or you don't know whether he was riding on Shabbos or turning the light on Shabbos, that's also going to be possible. So the Meiri, in Sanhedrin on page 9 is bothered. It says, Afal pi she'ein hazama tluya b'hem. L'chora, hazama is not shayach here. Right? So why should any be yodea by the drishas? There's no hazama on the drishas. If the whole reason to distinguish between hakiris and bedikas is because hakiris, you can't do hazama, you won't be able to do hazama, and you need to do hazama, and bedikas, there's no din hazama. So how come you don't say the same thing? Why isn't drishas considered like bedikas? It's not also not hazama. But says the Meiri, harein mechalal hakiris, vei mikro drishas. Shekoshi yomer behem echad eni yodei, edusim teilas rehem bedvarim shem ikar ha'edus. Whereas he's saying that even though it's not shayach to do, in other words, it's not pshat that you need a dafka to be huzam. In other words, the fact that the hazam is shayach to it just shows that it's the ikar ha'edus. In other words, the pshat in the chakiris is that since hazam is shayach to it, that shows it's the ikar ha'edus. And bedikas, hazam is not shayach, so it shows it's not the ikar ha'edus. But drishas, you don't have to prove that. For sure that's the ikar ha'edus. So even though Hazam is not Shayach, it's still going to be considered Iker Ha'edus, and if it ain't Yodea, then it's going to be possible because you missed out on what? The Iker Ha'edus. So Mela, Drishas also, if you see ain't Yodea, the halacha is that it is Hasul. Because the Drishas is also the Iker Ha'edus, even though it's not Shayach Hazam. The thing is that even Zman and the Makom, Wow, that was a good one. Someone had a question on this one. Harav C. No, you could say the guy was Michal Shabbos. I remember he was Michal Shabbos. I forget exactly what he did, whether it was that he turned on the light or that he wrote, but I know he was Michal Shabbos. I'm coming to Besdin to get him killed because he's Michal Shabbos. I saw him. There was a lot going on there. He did one of these things. I don't remember which one it was. So then if you go to Besdin and you say that, then they throw you out. They say that's an Eini Yodea Bedrishus, and an Eini Yodea Bedrishus is no good. There's no Hazama there. It doesn't matter. That's the Iker Ha'edus. And if you name your day in that, then for sure you're no good. Being Michal Shabbos, just one Shabbos, and you'll all be free. No. That's it. You satisfy his Michal Shabbos, but if you don't tell us what he did, then what? No, Drishas is a question. We're going to ask you him. So what did he do? Which malacha did he do? That's a question of the Drishas type of question. It's not bedikas because it's the bedikas is tangential. This is not tangential. But it's not Hakiris either, because Hakiris is semi-tangential. It's about the Zman and the Makom. If you ask him, what did he do? That's a Drisha's question. If it says Eini Yodea, then that's a Psul. No, but then we're going to ask him, what did he do for Michal Shabbos? Okay. No, have we? I don't know if we connected. But if not, you'll come to me later and we can connect. Say it. Good? Okay, that's number 9. Number 10. Number 10 is the machlokas between the Noda Behuda and the Beis Halevi. Minyan Eini Yodei Be'idus Nus. What happened? Confessional.
Confessional. Testimony is no good, then maybe they can stay married. Because we don't have any edus. Adore. So, there was somebody who decided that there are many reasons why the couple should be able to remain married. And they gave a whole list of affairs. Hetter Aleph, Hetter Beis, Hetter Gimel, Hetter Dalet, Hetter Hei, Hetter Vav. And then came to those Yehuda and said they're all wrong. Steers Hetter Aleph, Steers Hetter Beis, Steers Hetter Aleph is wrong, Hetter Beis is wrong, Hetter Gimel is wrong, all the Hetter are wrong. So one of the Hetter was that they should be able to remain married because it was an Eini Yodei of the Chakiris, and an Eini Yodei of the Chakiris is not a good Eidus. So, Mamela, we don't have Eidus on this Nus. So, since we don't have Eidus on this Nus, then the Halacha should be what? We should remain married. So, comes in Dozabi Yehuda, who is the rabbi
of Prague. Rabbi of Prague, the Rabbi Cheskel Landau. What else did he write to Rabbi Yehuda? He wrote the Tzlach. What else did he write?
What else did the Rabbi Yehuda write besides the Rabbi Yehuda? The Tzlach. The Dogol Mervava. Dogol Mervava, Tzlach. Dogol Mervava is a parish on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. Classic. Commentary.
A classic super
commentary.
A classic commentary on the side of the page of the Shulchan Aruch. So he wrote the law. And the Cheskel Landau. And what did Tzlach is on for years, what was the Tzlach on? Which reading factors? Brachas, Beitza, and what? Sofer. Every Jewish home had a Tzlach. And Tzlach is on Brachas, Beitza, and Sofer. So when you learn Brachas, Beitza, and he didn't learn the Tzlach, that was like sacrilege. You know what I mean? That was basically sacrilege. But then all of a sudden, one day, I don't know how this happened, maybe a lot, you know, Yeshivish historian, one day
sudden they came out with new things from its lot. So now they have two volumes of like 15 sounds. I was totally flabbergasted. I can't tell you. I was flabbergasted. So now you can get the slot with like 15. For years it was only on three mesectas. They probably found tisveyat, you know, of more things from the slot. So you didn't have everything. Now we have the slot on so many more mesectas, so you can keep busy. You have a, like, you don't have a dull moment in life. Now we have a slot on like 15 more mesectas. Right? So what are you trying to do? Oh. So he says like this. Tosis and Machis. Right? Babush the Tosis. Everyone knows the Tosis. Says, what's the first mission in Machis? First mission in Machis, the Eidim Anubish Tonish and Ben Gusho Ben Chalutza. Right? What does the guy say? That this guy who thinks he's a Kohen is really a son of a divorcee, he married Cohen, and therefore he's not a Cohen. Right? And say the witnesses were Kohanim themselves. So they try to make this guy, who's a Cohen, who's not a Cohen, so do we say we revoke his priesthood? We revoke his priesthood? No. We don't revoke his priesthood. What do? We just give him out. You're giving him out because then you didn't put Kai in Kasher Zola. Right? So then the Eidah shouldn't be good. So Tosis says that not everything has to be in the Kasher Zola category. Certain things are, you'll learn, are going to be in the Malchus category. Special tzukim that sometimes they even don't even get kasher zola, and sometimes they get malchus. So if they're in the malchus category, because we're not giving them the onish of kasher zola, then they're not bound by the edus of edus shatayachol azima, because only edus shatayachol azima applies if you're in the kasher zola category. But here, the din of gangusha ben chalutz is learned out from other tzukim, so it's not in the parasha, the regular parasha of kasher zola. So we're not worried that it has to be able to shut the yachol hazim. Also, the same thing by znus. If an aide comes and says, I saw this man, Mazana, with a married woman. So he's trying to cause to break up his marriage. So do we say, well, kasher zomam, so now we're going to break up the aide's marriage? We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. We're not going to just because he tried, because that's not, you don't do that if that shows up. So Eidus Nus is not in the category of Kasher Zomam, because we're not going to give the punishment for Kasher Zomam. So since it's not in the whole Kasher Zomam orbit, because we're not getting the punishment of Kasher Zomam, so Mamela, it's not bound by the halakha that it has to be an Eidus Shatayachal Azimah. So the Mela, since it doesn't have to be an Eidus Shatayachal Azimah, right? So then, Eini Yodeya b'chatiris by Eidus Nus should be okay. Because the whole reason why it's normally that okay is because it doesn't fulfill the requirement of Eidus Shatayachal Azimah. But here we don't need that requirement of Eidus Shatayachal Azimah. And since we don't need that requirement, so therefore what? We don't need that requirement, so therefore, what? So therefore, the Avis will be good, even if it's an Enya Deya. Avis will be good, even if it's an Enya Deya. So, Mamela. Then the woman will be also to the husband. From the male steerer of the head. It's a going to chap, another view. Right?
don't see everyone being so excited.
The ownership of kasher zomam, and then the fact that you need edus shatoyachal azima. And just because something is not in the ownership of kasher zomam doesn't mean that it doesn't have to be kind of royal hazin in terms of the information of the edus. Those are two separate things. So granted that the edus lus, you're not going to give the punishment of kasher zomam, you're not going to divorce him from his wife, but that doesn't mean that there's not a requirement of giving information to be able to be gusa. So therefore the Beis HaLevi said, no, if it's an Eidi Yodea in this man, then that's not a good Eidus. Even though we're not going to give the punishment of hassling to the Baal. And that's what the Beis HaLevi says. So this is the Machlokas, Beis HaLevi and the Rav Yehuda. If you didn't cap what we said in its full totality, so
you have two choices. You can either ask me a lot of time. You can think about it for 10 years. These are the two possibilities here.
EK.
I'm not so sure what was.
You both EK.
Is it a
no, I meant you. So.
Is it something you need to have, or is it something you need to have just for believing to prove something that they so that the aid you need to know? Is that why it's there? Or is there something you need
we're not communicating.
In question 9, we said we need drishas.
We need
drishas,
right.
So we
have the drishas here. We have all the information. The only thing that was lacking is you didn't know, you didn't remember when it happened. What day of the week or what day of the month it was.
Aren't they both fundamentals?
Right.
No. So the fact that they're proven Aiden Zomin, that's a separate category. They need to be proven Aiden Zomin. But they also need to have Hakiris and they need to have Fishers. Those are also two fundamental categories.
Right.
So how can you say, oh, because they don't need, because in this case they can't be proven Aiden Zomin anyway, they don't need to be proven Aiden Zomin, so we don't need Hakiris either.
Yeah.
I don't
no, because we're not giving the punishment of kasher zomam here.
Okay.
But the whole reason, what the Gemara says, the whole reason. The Gemara says the whole reason why Eini Yodea by Hakiris is no good is because it's Eidus Shiatoya Cholazima. But if you're saying that Eidus Znus is exempt from that whole parsha of Hazama, so then it doesn't bound, it's not bound by the halach of Eidus Shatayach HaLazima.
But didn't we say that you might not think it's a fundamental? Then the Mihiri said that Hakiris is a fundamental. That has nothing to do with Eidus. So can we say that Drusus is a fundamental? Can we say Hakiris is a fundamental also? It's a fundamental, that has nothing to do with Eidus. Fundamental. You need to know what time it happened. Yes, you also need to be able to prove it in Zomim, but you also need to know when it happened. What time of day, what day of the week. Just like Hakiris, just like Yerushas is a fundamental.
Right.
You have to know what happened in the case. You have to know if you used the gun or a knife. You have to also know when it happened. I thought that's what we were saying before. But that's not what we were saying.
Yeah, we're saying that Chakiris Drishus is obvious that Ein Yodeh is no good. Chakiris is a Chiddush that even that is no good because it's Shaykh by Hazama. But certain Eidus, you don't need Hazama.
Is that the only reason that Chakiris is no good? The only reason is
well, that's the Pashup Trot in the Gemara.
And that's what the Nodi Yud is saying.
Right. Okay. Good? Okay, so I think we finished this packet. Yes, our advice.
I don't know that the
how do we know that it, because that's what Eidus is.
Yeah, but if we can't, I mean, that is we can't give the halacha, we can't give the halacha to the halacha anyway. Is that right? Is that the hedder or is that the...
Right, but maybe...
So if you can't give the parshur, then why would we even... Why, meaning, what's the point of it to come alive? It wouldn't be a good deal, you know? If you can't, when we get punished for it, there's nothing to return that from mine.
Right.
So then why would the halacha find that as anything?
Because you still need to give the basic information.
So, yeah, but you can do that without the situation of security. You know, you come to your testimony like you do, and then the point now is, you know, you say what you saw, and that's it. You know, you don't...
Right. So, okay, you're making a valid point. You're not making a bad point. But I guess Chazal Kovea, that you still have to give basic information.
Even if
the punishment for
Azamah can't be
blocked.
Right.
Then
that doesn't
go with the
Lord
Yehuda.
He's saying he's right because it's against the Lord Yehuda, then you can nothing to make it. What do you mean? Because if nothing is subject to Azamah, because we can't get out of those punishments anyway, then the nothing is made possible these days, in which case that's, you know, the Yehuda says that, nothing is, that no Aedus is possible.
No, only Aedus that theoretically you won't, is not in the Hazama category.
So even if it is the Hazama category, then it can't be punished, then you can't be punished anyway to these days.
Fine, but it has to have the potential of having punishment. Okay, let's do the next number 11. Number 11 is packet 8. Ha'im omi meklal sheim bezin shokol l'gavei bezin b'chalitza. So the question here, we know the Gemara tells us the concept of Ein Bezdin Shokel. That a Bezdin cannot be equal, right? It can't be an even number. Ein Bezdin Shokel. It has to be a odd number because this way we won't have a tie. Ein Bezdin Shokel. So the question is like this. Usually, the point of a Bezdin is to decide something. You have a din Torah between two litigants, so you want to decide who's right, who's not right. So that's, you understand very well that you have the principle of Ein Bezdin Shokel. However, sometimes the point of a Bezdin is only to witness something. Now, normally, Edim means you only is two people. So sometimes we say Edus is not enough. We need a whole Bezdin. We want three people, like Gavis. It's not shot that Bezdin is a machlokus between two parties and you're coming to the Bezdin to decide which party is right. The Bezdin is causing the Gavis to be howled because it's done in front of the Bezdin. They are like super witnesses. Witnesses only do require a Bezdin. It's like super witnesses. Superman, super witness. Right? So the question is, and chalitz is another example, that you have to do chalitz in front of a bezin. Bezin of shloshim, we'll see, there's the mosif too, but you have to do it in front of a bezin. Right? Chalitz in front of a bezin. So there, it's not like bezin paskening or something. There's no dispute there. So the question that's raised, and yet, when the Gemara in Yevamos, is discussing how many dayanim you need for chalitza, it says kainim, so it's kainim mishnayim. Bein bez neshokul is mosifim leim orecha is three. Bein bez neshokul is three. So, the question that Tosus raises in Yevamos on Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph is, but why should we have the concept? And clearly, the Gemara has the concept of Ein Bezin Shokel by Chalitza, even though there's no debate by Chalitza. You're just doing a procedure in front of Bezdin. So then, the question is, why do you say Ein Bezdin Shokel? Bechora Ein Bezdin Shokel is because they're going to have a vote, and we don't want there to be a tie vote. But if it's not a question of having a vote, so then why do we say Ein Bezdin Shokel? So Tosus gives two terutz. One terutz is that in Chalitza also there could be a debate, because there are very many arguments in the Gemara how Chalitza is supposed to be performed. What type of shoe, etc. So you can have an argument there, and then we'll need it to Bezdin to vote to decide what the halacha should be. Like there could be a machlokas of what the shoe has to be made of, or other details in the procedure. So then we have to decide, you know, what's the halacha? I mean, we already have the halacha decided already by the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, etc. But maybe in Talmudic era, before there was a Shulchan Aruch, so then every time they have a chalitza, they would have to decide which Tana they're going to follow. So then the Bezdin, not only was the Bezdin to have the Chalitza done in front of them, but the Bezdin was needed to decide the halachic issues that come up in a Chalitza case, and therefore you have to have the concept of Ein Bezdin Shokel, so it shouldn't be a tie vote. What? Maybe by Chalitza, that's part of the Chalitza, is to decide, you know, that the Bezdin that's going to witness the Chalitza is going to decide how the Chalitza. Well, there's no, you don't go to a Bezdin for Hilchos Shabbos, but Chalitza has a Bezdin done in front of them, so maybe the Bezdin takes care of all the halachic issues that are going to ensue from this Chalitza.
So that answer works for Chalitza. What about another procedure like Geirus?
Geirus, you know how many issues we spent whole June here with Geirus. You know how many halachic issues there are in Geirus? We still haven't figured out all the halachic issues in Geirus. Geirus, you can write a doctorate, on, which people, someone did, on Geirus, right? I finally got it. I ordered it. I ordered the doctorate from Eretz Yisrael. Bar Ilan Press. You got the doctorate on Geirus. You can write a doctorate on many topics. No? So what are you starting? Okay. That was one terrace. Ogei Shlomar, the Bechol Duchten being in Roy the Bez name Bez and Shachos. Second terrace, sort of like a low plug. It's like a low plug. That since in normal cases a Bezdin is for Psak, and would say, and we need M Bezdin Shokel over there, so even in a situation where we really don't need to vote, but we still say M Bezdin Shokel. Sort of like a low plug. And the bottom line is, the Gemara says that we apply the principle of Ein Bezdin Shokol even to Chalitza. Okay, good. Now, what's the next question? Eizet dvarim osim chalitza mishum persumei milsa. There are certain things that are done in the chalitza process that are done to publicize the chalitza. In other words, there's an inyan. The chalitza, we want to publicize that the chalitza is done and now she can marry whoever she wants. So we do certain things to publicize the chalitza. So one thing the Gemara says is that even though we only require three dayanim, and the Gemara says everyone agrees to that, even the opinion that we thought not really retracted, we only need three dayanim, but yet on a chalitza we require five dayanim. That's what we do at a chalitza. We have three dayanim sitting one direction, horizontally, and two vertically. And the two vertically are the dayanim hanosafim. They're to make it more public. So we add extra dayanim, even though we only really need three dayanim. But when Mosif and Ot Shnayim, the pursuing Milsa, and to show that these two dayanim are not really part of the Bezdin, they're just the pursuing Milsa people, we put them in the other direction. So we have three lined up in one way and two in the other way. And that's what they do. I remember when they had a chalitza here in the first ball, the room 501, the room that you take your finals in. So they had a chalitza, and that's what they did. They had the three dayanim and the two nosafim. Rabbi Shechter's father was the presiding rabbi over the chalitza. Doesn't happen, you know, chalitza is not something you have every day, because you have to, has to have no children and the whole, you know, dies and, you know. But so that's one thing that's done for presuming milsa. What's the other thing that's done for presuming milsa? So the Gemara says another thing that's done is kviyas makom. That the halacha is that the day before the chalitza, the dayanim actually go as the Ramor writes in Kuf Samech Tes Sif Vav, Nogim Shaholchim Umokim Sharotim Meshiv Shom Lamocha, the Yoshvi Ma'at. In other words, the Dayanim go the day before and sit down by the Mokom that they're going to have the Chalitza tomorrow. Now, in a regular Din Torah, you don't do that. People think you're crazy. But you're going there the day before and having the Din the day before. But by Chalitza, in order to pursue a Milsa, what? We go the day before the pursuing Milsa to publicize it, so they have this din of Kviyas Mokom, and they go, and that's brought out in the Gemara. You see, the Gemara doesn't say you have to go there, like the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber just says that they should discuss it. They should say, tomorrow we're going to this place. In other words, they should already, Pashup Shat Vyas Moka means that they should just decide the day before where the Chalitza is going to be. Not that they actually have to go there. The Ramah quotes the minute that the minute is actually to go there and sit there to be Kovei Moka. Not that you just make a verbal decision amongst the group where it's going to be, but actually going there. That's the takeoff from the Gemara. Right? That's the mimic of the Ramah. Nogim Shaholkim Lamokam Sharotzim Leishisho. Lamokam Yoshi Ma'at. So these are two things that are done with Pirsumi Milsa. Number one, the din of Dayonim Nosachim. And number two, the din of what? And then the Shulchan Aruch says another thing, that you bring another five people there, so at least there should be 10 people. It's probably also for presuming Milsa.
Regular people.
Rav Moshe's Tshuva, which was a tangential discussion of Havara, partly Ashkenos. What should be the proper Havara? Ashkenos. So that's a whole discussion. So, I mean, there's a twofold discussion. One discussion is, what should you be doing? You yourself, every individual Jew, have to decide which Havara he's going to speak in. We don't care what Havara you speak in, because you can speak whatever you want. We don't care which Havara you're going to daven. With davening, you have an obligation to daven, so you have to know which Havara to daven. And then, that's one discussion. And the second discussion is that what? That's the second discussion. Could you be yotze with someone else's havara? Say you're going to be yotze kriyas ha-megillah, kriyas ha-torah, etc., from somebody who does a different havara than you. Are you yotze or not? Right. Carry out the pashas offer, they do it five times. Maybe partial software, right? So they're still doing it five times? Anyone prepare beyond there?
Yeah, so it's six times, right?
Six times.
I'm not sure then.
Yeah, it could be six times. It could do it a lot of times. You know, in every possible way. In Saradid, AMD, Ashkenazis, you know, it's a real scene there. You're in every show of partial software, that's why you can't be out there.
if you want to make sure to fulfill the obligation that Parshas offer. But you'll hear it six times. But Rav Moshe says that's not necessary. Because every Havara, he says, is good. And as long as there's a community that does it this way, so that's called Lashon HaKodesh. Obviously, when Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to the Ribbono Shel Olam or whatever, they spoke one way. And obviously, there was one right way that was given. But we're not sure which is the right way, so as long as there's a community that's doing it that way, then that's considered Lashon HaKodesh. Because it's basically the same, you know, same letters, and it's nuances here and there. Ah, Sabo, Ooh, E, you know, nuances. It's basically the same structure. So as long as it's basically the same structure, there has to be a community that's doing it that way. It can't be like just two people decide that they want to make up a new way, and that's not going to have the status of Lashon HaKodesh. And so Rav Moshe says the reason that he sees that this must be true is because you have to do the kriya. By chalitza, you have to read the psukim. And no one would say that that the psukim are really not ma'akim, but if you don't know how to do it in the right way, then it is ma'akim. So if the Sfaradi way is the really right way, and the Ashkenazi doesn't even know how to do it the Sfaradi way, so then it shouldn't be good. But Al Korcha, we never find that if a woman did chalitza and she's Sfaradi, that she can't now marry an Ashkenazic fellow because her chalitza was done in Havara Sfaradi. You never find such a thing. It must be that every Havara is good for everyone else. So you can go into any shul and hear Kriyas HaTorah or Kriyas HaMegillah or Kriyas Parsha Zohar, and you would be yotze in any Havara that you hear it. Probably not. No, that doesn't come with the Gemara, but he says, you know, we'll find, Bizman Azeh, that we have Chiluke Havaros. We don't find the lack that there's a, that we say that a woman who did Chalitza in this Havara can't marry a man who doesn't know this Havara, and, you know, is not even wrong to read in the Havara, because it's the wrong, might be the wrong Havara. We say, no, every Havara is good. Well, you have to be able to read. You have to be able to read Hebrew in the correct Havara. So if you don't know what the correct Havara is, so you don't know how to read Hebrew, so then maybe your Chalitz is no good. But we don't find such a thing. We say that once you do a chalitza in one of the acceptable havarot, then you can marry anyone you want. Aaron Ellen Gold?
I think like problematic, maybe like in YU, I notice sometimes guys get up who might have had like day school upbringing, but then like they
switched.
Right.
And then they get all confused and then Ashka's fired.
So we should.
Yeah. We should have a policeman there up there and say, no, you're right. In other words, L'chori, a person should be consistent. It makes a lot of sense that if you're an Ashkenazic Jew, you should do Ashkenazis, and if you're a Sephardic Jew, you should do Sephardic, like the generations of your lineage. That makes sense. But on the other hand, see, what happened is in the day school system, decided... You know, Sfaradid is the way. Even though Rav Kook, wanted that the spoken language in Israel. Now, forget that. The spoken language should be Ashkenazis. That's what he wanted. Yeah. Even with the Lord. So, even in the regular day, Ali wrote Rachel. Sfaradid. He didn't want Sfaradid. He wanted Ashkenazis, but he lost. He lost the vote. In other words, there was a vote. He lost. And the modern day Hebrew schools, a lot teach in Sephardic because that became associated with Israel and Zionism, whatever reason. So, look, everyone's situation is different. And I'm not here to criticize anybody, and I understand
even if you're an Ashkenazi, I understand very well why you might do it in Sfaradit. You were taught that way, you grew up that way, and I'm not saying telling anyone to change. It's just, but one thing I think is important, that one should be consistent in whatever he does. Like, he shouldn't be saying soft for one bracha, and then the next bracha he says ta, and then he goes back to sa. But let him be consistent throughout. And if he has a netiya that he wants to change, so then there's what to talk about. If he doesn't want to change, I'm not pushing people to change. I respect what everyone does, and especially the person's planning to live in Israel. So he may want to, whatever, do what Sfaradit, whatever. But Mikra did, they're all good, like Rav Moshe said. You're Yotze with all of them. The only question is, what should be maybe preferred for any particular... I think that's a very personalized discussion. Not a discussion for everyone, one answer for everyone. Everyone has their own background, their own sensitivities in this issue. So, whatever. Yeah.
Was Rav Moshe not so happy also?
What?
Like, Rav Moshe was also not so happy with the Sfaradi
Tanya. I don't know. Well, how do you know that? Okay. Could be. Okay, everybody. So that's this tshuva from this I just added here in the end. This tshuva from Rav Moshe. Okay, is there anything from what we did today that you want me to? Today we started off with. Question 8. We did 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. We did 5 questions today. Is there anything from these 5 that is unclear that you would like me to clarify and repeat? Svi? What? Yeah, right. I can't hear you. You have to check in Aguna what the check in Simon Yuzayin what the halak is there. But in a regular case, for sure not. Aguna has more coolers than look. We allow Isha, right? And we allow Eid Echad. We allow Isha. There's a discussion about this in Hilchas Aguna is Eben Ezra Siman Yud Zayin. That's like the longest Siman in Shulchan Aruch. Siman Yud Zayin, Hilchas Heter Agunas. Yes. Why do we publicize the chalitza? To show that she's mutter l'shuk. So you'll ask me, so why don't you do the same thing by gittin? You don't find by gittin, by gittin she need more publicity to say that she's mutter. So what would be the, how come my chalitza was so interested in publicizing it more so than get? What? We will hear more about getting the chalitzas. Right. So maybe for these reasons, getting is more intrinsically public than chalitza. Okay. I think we'll stop here for today. Bez Hashem, tomorrow is Thursday, right? So we'll hopefully tomorrow we'll finish up the Sanhedrin parts, and we'll have Chumash, and we will on Sundays we're going to continue Halacha, new Halacha, on Sundays even in the middle of Chazar. Because this way we don't break the continuity, and people who are coming in, the bachutz also. So for Sundays we'll continue. You know, this coming Sunday is Kol Isha, topic of Kol Isha, the top topic of modern Orthodoxy. Adiv.